My name is Brooke Newman. I'm not the main guy. I'm just the helper guy. But I'm they're letting me talk today. So I was talking to someone else earlier. Now's the time to duck out if you'd like. So actually, you kind of miss it. That was the time. So we are in the book of Galatians. So if you want to turn there, Galatians chapter 3. We're actually studying mostly verses 6 through 9. But I'm going to read 1 through 9. If you want to turn there, that would be awesome. Cole mentioned in announcements that November 10th, we're going to have a meeting for Mexico. That's going to kind of be our first kind of real big meeting. So that's the day that we're going to finalize who the team is. And so if you're still interested, please talk to me. I know there's some of you that I've talked to but haven't given information to yet. I'd love to catch you and get that information. But I'm really excited about that trip and the people that are interested. So Galatians 3, I'm going to read, like I said, 1 through 9. The Word of God says this: "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this: did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Let's pray. Father God, life can obviously get very challenging and hard, and we hear so many things coming in from so many different directions. Lord, we can not know what to do. Father, we can get lost from the truth. Father, I pray this morning we may see the truth that people are justified, Lord, not by their works, Lord, but by faith. By faith in Christ, by faith in Christ's work on the cross. Father, I pray today that we can see that we can see that those who are believing in what God has said and what you have said are the ones who are sons of Abraham, the ones who are sons of God, the ones who have salvation, have justification before you now and forever. Father, may we see that this morning. Help me to teach that and show that through your word. Father, work in me and also work in all of our hearts and our minds this morning. Father, I pray these things in your name. Amen. So, in today's world, really, just the world in general for all time, there's a lot of messages out there, right? There's a lot of words that come in, right? And maybe you're really sure about something. You've heard the truth. You know what's true. But then all these other messages come in, and they're just saying all these different things. And this time of year, we really see that, right? In fact, in your mailboxes and maybe sitting on your tables or maybe probably in your trash, this last couple weeks, you've gotten a bunch of these things that are about that big, right? And some of them have people wearing, you know, the same clothes you're wearing now, and they're out on a ranch or they're out whatever, right? But then there's another one that's got that same person on it, but they're wearing a suit, and it's all black and white with some red, right? And both of these are about the same person, but one says that this person is really, really awesome, and the other says that this person is a thief and a liar. Right? And maybe worse, right? You guys are getting those, right? I've got a whole bunch of them in my mailbox. They're actually in my trash now, but right? I was actually looking at one, at two of them last night, and it was that exact thing, right? I'm looking at them, and I'm like, this is the same person? How could this be the same person? This sounds pretty great. This sounds pretty awful, but it's the same person, right? We get these messages that are trying to convince us of what the truth is. And you'll notice, right, when you're looking at these, they don't just leave you hanging. They actually have citations, right? They'll look at the bottom, and they'll say, well, and you can look here, and you can look here, and If you look closely, someone will say like things like Wikipedia or Reddit or things like that. But you'll look and it'll have that. And what they're trying to do is say, look, what I'm saying is real, right? And they'll go back and they'll show, look, I know you thought this. I know you thought this was true. But let me go back and let me show you that this is actually what's true, right? And they're trying to change truth on you, which of course we know there's only one truth, but they're trying to change truth on you. Well, in Christianity, we see that, we've seen that throughout all of time, where we know that the truth, the message, is that all who trust and faith in Christ will be saved and are saved and are justified by faith, not by works. But throughout history, we see that being changed. In fact, on Thursday, we will... There's a holiday called Halloween, that's whatever. But then there's another holiday that we call Reformation Day, where we celebrate and remember over 500 years ago, the church was having similar issues where there was all these different messages saying, well, yes, Jesus, but I think you also need to do this. I think you need to pay this money here or buy this thing here or go to this place at this time, and then you're for sure good. And a man named Martin Luther wrote a long thesis of 95 different points of where they were wrong and where they were leaving this concept of faith and adding many things to it. And these same people were doing the same thing. We're like, well, if you go back and you look at the traditions and you look at these things, we can see this is what you're supposed to do. But Luther, he went back and said, no, look at God's word and look what it says. And thankfully, we have this book here, Galatians, which takes us all the way back to the founding of the church, of God's church, of these letters, these many letters, where Paul, in the book of Galatians, is actually fighting the same fight. Where he was in Galatia and he taught them the truths of Jesus. He taught them that by trusting in Christ, you are saved by faith, you are justified, you are made right with God. But when he left, people came and were giving a message that was saying, okay, yeah, that's good and that's fine, that's whatever. But let's look back in the Old Testament and let's see what it says. And let's see that, and I will show you that it actually shows that you need more than that. There's other things you need to do and more than that. And in history, we call these people the Judaizers. They would follow Paul around, follow the disciples around, and they would wherever they planted churches, they'd come and say, yes, Jesus is great, Jesus is the Messiah, but also you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and then you'll be made right before God. And so Paul, in this letter, has been trying to clear the air and trying to remind them of the original gospel, the true gospel that he taught them, that they had been told, that comes from Christ and his work on the cross. And so far in Galatians, he has started by saying that this gospel that I brought to you didn't come from man, but came from God, right? And he told his testimony, his story, and that this message comes from God. And then he showed that, in fact, this message that I teach, also I went to the apostles who knew Jesus and were with Jesus, they also agreed with this message and sent me out, right? And then he also even says, in fact, Peter was having some issues and kind of beginning to believe some of these things that people were adding, and he was separating Jew and Gentile and separating those of faith. And he said, and I confronted him under this same gospel, under the same truth, in this same gospel, I confronted him. And so he's making that argument there. And then at the end of chapter 2, he gives us our definition of the gospel, reminding them of what it is and showing that it is in Christ that we are justified. Right, it is in Christ that we are justified. He teaches that in 2. He says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And so he defines it there. He's like, that's what it is. Just clear the air. That's what it is. And then now in this chapter 3, what I read this morning, he's coming into the Gentiles. He's speaking to them specifically, and specifically what they're going through, and saying, okay, you've been deceived. You've been deceived. And so first, his first argument in their deception. It's just their experience. And he's saying, look, you were shared the gospel was shared with you, and you saw change, and you saw truth, and you lived, right? He goes to their experience, right? And this passage that we're studying this morning, he goes to God's word. He goes to scripture. He goes specifically to the Old Testament. And specifically today, what we're going to talk about, he goes to the man Abraham and the life of Abraham. And his main message, his main truth that he wants them to know is that if you are trusting in Christ by faith, that is what makes you a son of Abraham. Now, when I was studying this, I asked that question to myself of, why does that matter? And maybe you guys are in the same boat. Maybe that seems a little off. Well, let me give you a little bit of context to help you, and I think you'll actually find it quite helpful. You see, the Judaizers, that's what they would have been telling them. Like, look, yes, Jesus is great, Jesus is good, but if you want full blessing, if you want complete blessing, you need to be a son of Abraham. And where they get this from is in the Old Testament, in Genesis, right? Abraham is given a promise. He's given a promise that the whole world will be blessed through him, and that his children, his offsprings, his sons, the sons of Abraham, would be blessed. Okay, and these Judaizers believed then that the children, the descendants of Abraham, would be blessed. And they would agree, and I believe submit to that Jesus plays a role in that, but not the complete and the final role. In fact, they would go back and say, Abraham, they'd go back to Genesis 17. I think I have this up here, and if you have, I think it's helpful. They'd go back to Genesis 17, and they'd go to Abraham, and they'd say, well, see, Abraham believed. Here, I have it up here. We see that Abraham was given a command by God, and he had to obey it. So let me read it for you, Genesis 17. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you will keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Right? You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And so they would go back and they say, see, go back all the way. We can take you all the way back to Genesis 17, right? And so if they're here, right, they're like, man, we can take you all the way back to Genesis 17 and show you that to be part of this covenant, because they would even submit, like, we actually even believe that you don't have to be a literal descendant, but you must come into the covenant. And how you do that is see how Abraham did it. Abraham did it through circumcision, and all his children, all his offspring, all the sons of Abraham need to do it by circumcision. And so that would be their argument, right? And they're like, look, and we can take it all the way back. This is their little citation on the bottom, right? We can take it all the way back and show you that you need to do this in order to be saved, in order to be made right with God, in order to be justified. And so it is actually a huge deal and very helpful to us that Paul is taking the time to say, no, it is by faith that you are a son of Abraham. Being a son of Abraham is based on faith. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And that's the argument that we're going to see Paul make. And he makes it immediately right here in 6. And where he starts with it is he says that Abraham, in fact, himself was saved by faith. Here's what he says in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Right? And you may notice there's a question mark. That's because he's telling a rhetorical question from the passage before, right? He's saying, these things that happened to you, did they happen by works of the law because you did the works of the law, or did they happen to you because you heard the truth by faith and believed? Which one was it? And he's saying, it was the second, because that's what happened to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, something I want you to notice here and see here is that this is actually a direct quote. And it's a direct quote going past Genesis 17 and all the way to Genesis 15, right? Before all this, we see in Genesis 15, the plan that God makes, the covenant God makes with Abram at this time is his name, Abram. And so this is Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Let me read this to you, right? So this is how Abraham believed. This is how Abraham became blessed. This is how Abraham became justified, made right with God, right? And so this is going all the way back, not 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, all the way back to the very beginnings of Scripture, what we see here with Abram. So let me read this. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, let me say this real quick. At this point, Abram is a very old man, and earlier God had said that I'm going to make a great nation from you. The world will be blessing you. I'm going to make a great nation from you. But Abram was a very old man. His wife was very old. And the idea of having any kids, let alone enough to make a nation, seemed impossible. And so God's coming and saying, well, I'm going to give you something very great. I'm going to give you a reward that is very great. He says, that seems impossible. The greatest thing I could have that you have promised me is an inheritance. And currently, I've got a family member, a distant family member that's going to go to. How could it be? And then verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. You will have a child and he will be your heir. And he brought him outside, he took Abraham outside and said, look toward heaven, look up to the stars, number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. You will have an heir, and you will have many, many children, more than the stars you see in the sky. And notice this in verse 6. This is what Paul quoted. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Sometimes I think we have this idea that this language of righteousness being made right with God, of faith, belief, all these things is this New Testament concept, but then you got this Old Testament that the things are weird. Paul is showing us, you go all the way back to the beginning. It was always by belief in God that we are made righteous. Abraham had the same experience. I want you to think about what really happened here, right? Like, God said words. He said a promise. He said truths. He said he would do something, right? And he pointed up to the stars and said, just as there's many stars, you're going to have many, many, many children that are going to come from you, and the world's going to be blessed through you. This is going to happen. And Abraham believed it. And sometimes I think we have a hard time defining faith, and I think there's a lot of ways to define faith, and there's a lot of maybe even depths and nuances to faith, but I think one way to understand faith, and the Christian faith, is hearing what God says and believing what he said. When God is hearing a promise from God, a promise for you from God, and believing it. That's what faith is. It's hearing a promise, and then it is believing it. And this promise here that we see Abraham make, or that we see God make to Abraham, and Abraham believe, we get to read the rest of the scriptures and watch God fulfill it. Watch God fulfill that promise. Until eventually you and I get this immense blessing to be after the cross of Christ and get to see the fulfillment of this promise made to Abraham, made to his offspring, made to all who believe and all who have faith, all who hear what God has done, all who hear God's promise and say, okay, I believe that. And so, just as Abraham heard promises. We even get a little bit more than that. Not only do we get to hear those promises, but we get to see, we get to read in the Gospels, we get to read of the fulfilling of that plan. And we get to see that Jesus is going to, his death on the cross justifies now our sin. And justifies us, making us righteous before God, paying for our sins. Right? And so it is through belief, through faith, then, that Abraham was saved. And that's where Paul gets into 7 and says, know, K-N-O-W. This is what he wants you to know. You need to know this, that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And when he says sons of Abraham, what he is alluding to and going back to is that very thing, sons of the promise, right? This promise was made, and those who are faith are those who are sons of Abraham. These Judaizers, they're saying that you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do that. What I'm telling you is that Christ came, died on the cross for your sins, that all who believe in him may be saved, may have eternal life, may be justified with God, may be made right with God. That's what, and Abraham trusted that God was going to do that. And now in the fullness of time, we got to see that and we now get to believe. And it's by faith then that you are a son of Abraham. And so Paul's first argument here is that Abraham himself was saved not by the circumcision he would do in chapter 17, but by the faith that he, his reliance, his belief in God in chapter 15. And I think something that's important for us to notice and to see here is that it is faith in something, right? It's not the faith himself. Sometimes we can think, well, what it means by faith is Abraham's faithfulness, right? Abraham was faithful. It was him that is the justification. It was his faithfulness that is the righteousness. It's his faithfulness that is the justification. But that's not really what it is. It's faithfulness in Christ who is the justification, right? Because you and I are incapable of having the righteousness, the justice, right? We are all sinners. We have all failed. We have all sinned against God. But it is Christ's death on the cross that brought righteousness. And through faith in that, through trusting that, through hearing Christ say, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Hearing that and believing it, that is what saves you. That is what brings you righteousness. Now, the next thing that Paul wants to use to show that this not only is a new thing, this idea of by faith, but in fact it goes all the way back, is verse 8. And when I was studying this, guys, read verse 8. I'm going to read it. Read along with me. Verse 8 is crazy. It's crazy. Okay, I'm going to read it. So, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." I'm going to read that again. Think about what's being said here. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." First off, he's now going to scripture. He's saying scripture, right? And that would have been exactly what the Judaizers, like, scripture, we got to see what scripture says. And Paul says, exactly, yep, I agree with you 100%. We need to agree with what scripture says. And Scripture says this. He almost gives a personification almost of scripture. Scripture foreseeing that God would justify. So we got these words here. We got this word foreseeing and beforehand. I think these words are new. They can be kind of confusing. They're just to say, before Christ did his work on the cross, the gospel that you know now was in some way revealed and shown. Right? A gospel by faith and a gospel, hear that in you shall all the nations be blessed. A gospel that was meant to always be for the nations. Right? And in that, you'll see a quote again, and that's Genesis 12. Right? He's quoting Genesis 12, so he's going even further back. And he's quoting Genesis 12. He's got a little bit of 15 in there too, but it is mostly Genesis 12 that he is quoting, 1-4. It says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Paul is showing that this gospel has always been the plan. That the Gentiles would be able to believe by faith and trust, and in that they would be made right with God. In the moment of their belief, they would be made right with God because of what Christ has done on the cross. Because of that work. Now Abraham didn't know what that was going to play out to look like. He didn't know. We see in Hebrews 11, it talks about that. He didn't know exactly how this was all going to play out. He didn't know everything that it was going to mean. But as we read scriptures and we again today get to watch it all play out and watch it all happen before us. And we see that scripture has always taught that it is by faith that not only was Abraham saved, but that all will be saved by faith. That's that word blessed. All will be blessed. That's the blessing. The blessing is Christ himself. The blessing is Christ himself and justification through him. And something else I want to point out, I want us to see here. I think this is really, really important in that verse 5, right, which Sam talked about last week, but in that whole passage, it says a couple times, it says, by hearing by faith. Were you saved by works of law or by hearing by faith? We say by works of the law or hearing by faith. Says it in 2 and in 5. We see that, right? You need to hear. You have to hear the truth. You have to hear the gospel. Abraham heard the gospel. That's what it says right here. Preached the gospel. The gospel was preached to him. Just like Paul preached the gospel to the Galatians. Just like my hope and desire is that every time you come here, the gospel is being preached to you. Or when you go to Bible studies, the gospel is being preached to you. When you read God's word, the gospel is being preached to you. Maybe even my hope and my desire is that despite my failings and my issues, my challenges, that when you and I have a conversation, the gospel is being preached to you. Or when you are talking with others, speaking with others, you are preaching the gospel to others. The gospel must be heard in order to be believed. And so I pray, one, that we're those who hear what God says and we believe it, but two, that we are those that are also preaching it, saying to it, taking it out there that people may believe. And so he ends with this concept. Says, So then, those who are of faith, those who are trusting in Christ by faith, are blessed along with Abraham. So those who are of faith, those who are trusting in Christ, those whose faith is in Christ and his work on the cross, they are blessed along with Abraham. And I love to say, he has this at the end, the man of faith. The man of faith. Not the man of works, not the man who tried to earn God's pleasure, earn God's righteousness, but the man who heard what God said, who heard God's promise and said, yep, I believe in that. And so this morning, I think Paul had at least two goals here, and I hope we can have the same. And I want to kind of have the same here. When he was speaking to the Galatians, I think he wanted to give assurance to those who were trusting in faith, and I'm going to get there. But I think also he wanted to warn heavily and strongly those who were either adding to the gospel or listening with itchy ears to those who wanted to add to the gospel. And when I say add, I actually mean change it. And so let me start with the warning. And that is this. In this life, you're going to get a lot of mixed messages. You're going to get a lot of people saying different things or different situations happening in your life that make you think different things or whatever it may be. And your desire, your default sometimes may be, I really feel like I'm not right with God, and if I just do this, I will be. Or if I can just do that, I will be. right? I'm not good enough. Or maybe it's the other side. Maybe you fully are buying the lie that if you've done these things or do these things, then that is what saves you. And you are now convincing other people the same. Well, yes, faith is good. Jesus is good, but you need to go to this place at this certain time. You need to be doing this certain thing. You need to make sure you give this certain amount of money, or you've done this certain thing, or whatever it may be. Paul is giving a heavy warning against those people. He's giving a heavy warning against those people. And I was gonna read it, but I don't think I'll read it. It's very long, but if you get the chance this week, check out John 8, John chapter 8, especially the last half of that. In that chapter, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and they don't like the things Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying is really talking about the value of his teaching and what he's saying, and that knowing God means to know Jesus, to know him, and the Pharisees did not like that. They didn't like that at all, and they said, look, what are you talking about? You obviously don't know anything about God. They're saying this to Jesus. They're like, we are sons of Abraham. We carry the promise. We understand these things. You obviously do not understand these things. And Jesus goes on, and he says, you actually are sons of your father, but your father is not Abraham. And he goes and he says, your father is the devil. And the reason I know this is because you do not believe the words that I am saying. You do not believe the words that Jesus is saying. You're believing the things, the message that you've added to God's word. You're believing those things. And not only are you believing them, but you're teaching those things. And in that, that makes you not a son of God, not a son of Abraham. It makes you a son of the devil. And as we get into Galatians, we'll see Paul say very strong language in similar directions. And so I want us to have that warning. And then now I want to end with the truth and with hope and with assurance, because I think Paul wants that as well. I think he wants those of faith, those who are trusting in Christ alone, to know that if you've heard God's word and you believe what he says, if you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that by trusting and believing you are right with him, if you believe that promise, you're made righteous. You are justified. You are God's. You are his. You are a son of Abraham. You are a son of God. You are Christ's. And so when these whispers come in, when these sounds come in of I need to know this enough, or I need to do this enough. Now I don't want to separate. There is a truth, right? There is a truth that we as Christians, we grow and we learn. And I want to challenge you to grow and to learn in God's word, to be involved in the church, the body of Christ, to reach the nations with the gospel, to share the gospel around you. I want you to do those things, and the scripture calls you to do those things and to be a part, because you are sons of God, because you are sons of Abraham, because you are made righteous by the work of Christ on the cross. So often you will feel the weight of not being enough. And of course the truth is you're not enough. That is the truth. But there is one who is. And he said, believe in me. Believe in me, and you will have eternal life. Believe in me, and you will be right with God. Believe the works of Christ. Hear the promises that he says. Read this word that you may know his promises. Know his promises well, so that in those times, you can believe those promises and say, yes. Okay, I believe. Let's pray. Jesus, we need you. Lord, we need your work. We need what you've done. Your death, your burial, your resurrection on the cross. You're living a sinless life. Father, you have all righteousness that we do not have. Father, but by faith, not by works, not by circumcision, but Lord, by believing, by hearing your promises and believing them, Lord, we may be justified now. Lord, I pray that we hear your truth, that we preach your truth, Lord, through your word, through church, through studying scriptures, through fellow believers, Lord. May we hear your word, and may we believe by faith, Lord, in that we are righteous, in that we are sons of Abraham. Father, and also may we go out and preach that message and share that message, Lord, not putting weights and burdens on other people, but instead showing them, telling them these promises that they may believe and be justified now in you, Father. Lord, we praise these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.